Welcome to E-Bike Trail Guide, your go-to podcast for exploring the best e-bike trails across the country.
We're here to help you find those thrilling rides, hidden gems, all that good stuff.
Yeah, and maybe share a few e-bike tips for your next adventure. Now, just a quick but really important reminder.
Always check the local trail rules before you head out. Make sure Class 1 e-bikes are definitely allowed where you plan to ride.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into a spot that's been getting some buzz, especially from listeners asking about new scenic rides. We're heading to West Virginia to check out the Elk River Trail system.
Sounds great. And we've pulled together some interesting perspectives for this one, haven't we?
We have. We've got a firsthand account from a YouTuber who actually rode the trail, which is always valuable.
Yeah, boots on the ground, or rather, tires on the trail info.
Right. Plus, we've looked at various mountain biking sites, trail info databases, you know, the usual suspects.
And the official stuff, too, from the Elk River Trail Foundation and West Virginia State Parks. So, pretty good mix.
Definitely. Gives us that on-the-ground feel and the official word. So, our mission today is really to give you a solid picture of this trail system for your e-bike.
What are the highlights? What are the potential snags? Maybe.
Exactly. Is it worth putting on your list? So, where do we start with the Elk River Trail? What's the big picture?
Well, first off, it's pretty new in the grand scheme of things. It only became part of the West Virginia State Park system back in 2019.
Okay, so relatively recent.
Yeah, and it's quite spread out. It actually crosses through three different counties.
Three? Which ones?
Braxton, Clay, and Kanawha counties. And it's managed by the state's DNR, specifically the State Parks Division.
Hmm. And I saw something about it running alongside a water trail.
That's right. The Elk River Water Trail runs parallel. So you've got that water element right there, too, which is nice.
That does sound appealing. What's the ultimate goal for this trail? How long is it supposed to be when it's all finished?
The plan is pretty ambitious. We're talking 73.3 miles for the main trail.
Wow, 73 miles.
And there's also an extra 18-mile section planned, a spur along Buffalo Creek.
Okay, but you said planned, so it's not all rideable right this minute.
Correct. That's a key point. It's still under development in parts.
So for someone wanting to ride, say, next month, what sections are actually open and ready to go?
Okay, so right now, the main continuous open stretch is about 48 miles long.
48 miles? That's still a decent ride. Where does that run?
That goes from Gassaway up in Braxton County, south, down to a place called Heartland in Clay County.
Gassaway to Heartland. Got it.
And then there's another separate piece further south.
Yeah.
It's shorter, about 4.3 miles.
Okay.
That bit connects Queen Shoals to Clendenin down in Kanawha County.
Hmm. So two main open sections for now. That 48-mile stretch sounds like the main attraction currently.
Seems like it, yeah. Definitely enough for a good day out or even potentially an overnighter if you plan it right.
Okay, let's talk about the ride itself. What's the surface like? What should e-bikers expect under their tires?
Well, the good news is, for most of that open trail, it's described as flat.
Flat is good.
Flat is definitely good for a relaxing ride. And the surface is mostly a fine-packed, crushed gravel.
Okay, crushed gravel. Generally pretty e-bike friendly, then.
Generally, yes. Should be good for most hybrid or trail-oriented e-bikes. But there's a caveat.
Ah, okay.
What's that?
The northernmost bit, the section between Frametown and Gassaway.
Mm-hmm.
As of June 2022, anyway, that was reported as being unsurfaced.
Unsurfaced, so like dirt, mud, rocks.
More like a natural trail surface, potentially rougher. Sources suggested that part might be better suited for bikes with some suspension.
Right. Okay. So not uniformly smooth crushed gravel everywhere.
Not quite everywhere, no. And that ties into what the YouTuber mentioned, actually.
Yeah. Yes. The firsthand account. What did they say about tires?
They were riding on 44 millimeter tires and in some spots where the trail was rougher. Maybe some larger foundation rocks were showing through.
Yeah.
They mentioned wishing they had wider tires. More cushion, more stability.
Makes sense. So the takeaway for our listeners, probably a class one e-bike is fine. But maybe consider one with slightly wider tires, especially if you plan on hitting those potentially rougher bits.
Exactly. Wider tires, maybe 47 millimeter or even into the 50s, or perhaps something with a bit of front suspension might just make the ride more comfortable overall, especially on the unsurfaced sections.
Good practical advice. Okay, what about getting to the trail? Access points, parking. Is it easy to hop on and off?
Seems like it. The sources list quite a few access points, and they generally mention decent parking available near major roads or towns.
Can you list a few, just to give people an idea?
Sure. Going roughly north to south, you've got Gassaway, Coastal Lumber, Frametown, Strange Creek, Duck.
Yeah,
Duck. then Ivydale, Dundon, which is in Clay County,
right,
then Heartland at the southern end of that main section,
right,
and then for that shorter southern section, you have Queen Shoals and Clendenin.
Plenty of options then. That's good for planning different length rides.
Definitely. Lets you tailor the ride.
Now, you mentioned the YouTuber's experience. Did they say anything about the roads leading to the trailheads? Sometimes those can be a bit sketchy.
That's a really good point. Yes, they did. Specifically, the road to the Heartland access point.
How about it?
They described it as pretty rough, needing some work. They managed it okay in a Subaru Outback.
Okay, something with a bit of clearance.
Right. But they questioned whether a standard car, maybe lower to the ground, would have trouble.
Okay. So a bit of a heads up there, depending on which access point you choose and what you're driving. Worth maybe checking recent conditions if possible.
Probably a good idea, yeah. Conditions can change.
So once you're on the trail, what are you going to see? What are the interesting bits, the amenities, you know, the stuff that makes a ride memorable?
Well, the scenery along the Elk River is obviously a big draw. Though one account did mention that the trees are quite dense in places, so you don't always have wide open river views.
Okay, so more like riding near the river through the woods sometimes?
Sort of, yeah. But still, that natural setting is key. And there are some unique points of interest.
Unique how?
How about a ginormous wooden carved Bigfoot?
Wait, really? A Bigfoot carving? Where?
Apparently. It's about 3 miles north of the Ivydale parking area, right near a picnic table.
That is brilliant. Definitely a photo op.
Absolutely, a quirky little landmark. What else? Oh, for supplies. Someone mentioned Nottingham's Market being near the trail.
A place to grab snacks or drinks.
Yeah, and apparently they do chili dogs and milkshakes, if that's your thing. Could be a welcome stop.
Chili dogs and Bigfoot. This trail has character.
It seems so. There are also some exercise stations mentioned along a 3 mile bit downstream from Dundon.
Exercise stations, like pull-up bars and stuff?
Yeah, that kind of thing. If you feel like adding a workout to your ride.
Maybe on the way back. Anything else noteworthy?
The depot in Gassaway was described as really cool and unique. It hints at the history of the area, you know, when the railway line this trail follows was active.
Ah, connecting to that rail trail heritage. Nice.
Yeah. But it's also important to balance this with practicality. One rider did stress that services directly on the trail are pretty limited, meaning definitely bring your own water, snacks, maybe a basic repair kit. Don't count on finding lots of stores or cafes right on the trail itself.
Right. Be self-sufficient. What about restrooms?
They are available at some points. One account specifically mentioned a pit potty about a mile in from the Heartland access. So facilities exist, but maybe not super frequent.
Okay, standard trail stuff. Good to know. Now, riding through that kind of West Virginia landscape, I bet there's wildlife.
Oh, definitely. The sources mentioned a whole range. Deer, bears.
Bears, okay, be aware.
Yeah, bears, bobcats, foxes, rabbits, squirrels, lots of mammals.
And birds.
Yep. Eagles, wild turkeys, owls, ducks, hawks. So yeah, if you enjoy wildlife spotting, keep your eyes peeled.
Sounds like a really rich natural environment. Okay, so we've got the good stuff. What about the potential downsides or challenges? It's a developing trail, you said.
Exactly. And that's the main thing, is still developing. So the big one is checking which sections are actually complete and open before you go.
Right, because you mentioned that Heartland to Queen Shoals gap.
Precisely. That connection wasn't finished, according to the reports we saw. You wouldn't want to plan a through ride and hit a dead end. Always check the official West Virginia State Park site or the Elk River Trail Foundation for the latest status updates.
Good advice. Any other specific issues people ran into?
There was one report about a dog chasing cyclists near the duck access point.
Oh. Not ideal.
No. Though apparently later info suggested maybe that dog's owner had dealt with it. But still, it's a reminder, you know, things can happen. Be aware of your surroundings, animals, domestic or wild.
True. Anything else?
The YouTuber who wrote it mentioned feeling a bit concerned about parking safety at one of the trailheads they first looked at, and even near the courthouse in Clay.
Safety concerns.
Yeah, just advise being cautious, aware of where you leave your vehicle, maybe choose busier, more established trailheads if possible.
Sensible advice anywhere, really.
True. And structurally, there was a mention of some drainage issues causing water to wash over the trail and erode it a bit near that rough Heartland access road.
Okay, so maybe some muddy or washed out spots after heavy rain?
Potentially, yeah. Worth keeping in mind.
And what if someone's thinking, this 48-mile section sounds great for an overnight trip. What about camping?
Ah, well, that's another point. One rider specifically noted a lack of designated campsites right on the trail.
So no official spots to pitch a tent?
Apparently not directly on the trail itself. They mentioned resorting to stealth camping, which, you know, isn't always permitted or ideal.
Right, so if you want to do an overnight e-bike trip, you'd need to plan accommodation off-trail. Or check regulations very carefully.
Exactly. Plan ahead for where you'll stay. And another thing for longer rides, cell service.
Ah, always a factor on trails. Spotty.
Can be, yeah. One report mentioned having no service at all around the mile 41 marker. So download maps, let someone know your route, the usual precautions.
Definitely. Don't rely on having a signal everywhere. Okay, now, earlier you mentioned that Buffalo Creek Spur. There was something about rails with trail.
Yeah, that's an interesting feature. It refers to that 18-mile section along Buffalo Creek near the town of Clay.
Okay, what's the deal there?
There's an attraction called Rail Explorers USA operating on that stretch. They offer rides on pedal assist rail bikes.
Rail bikes. So you're pedaling on the actual train tracks.
You got it. They have these four-wheeled contraptions you pedal, and these ones have electric assist. It's a 13-mile round trip they offer.
Huh. That sounds different.
It does. And apparently the ride goes past a waterfall called Devil Sawmill Waterfall, which is part of a recognized West Virginia waterfall trail.
Cool. So you could potentially bike the main trail
yeah.
and then do this rail bike thing as a side activity.
Absolutely. Or just do the rail bikes. They also mentioned jitney rides being available on that section too, I guess, for those who don't want to pedal.
Interesting option. Okay. Let's circle back specifically to e-bikes on the main Elk River Trail. We know class one are allowed. We talked tires and maybe suspension. Anything else specific for e-bike riders?
Well, the generally flat nature of the trail is a big plus for e-bikes. You're not likely to encounter super steep hills that will drain your battery quickly.
Right, so range anxiety might be less of a concern than on mountainous trails.
Probably, yeah. It seems suitable for a really wide range of e-bike users, from casual riders to those wanting a longer, flatter distance ride. The crushed gravel surface, for the most part, should provide decent traction.
Good to know. And you mentioned the water trail connection earlier. How does that enhance the whole experience?
It just adds another layer, really. The Elk River itself is recognized as a water trail. Lots of access points for paddling kayaks, canoes, paddle boards.
So you could plan a multi-sport trip. Bike one day, paddle the next.
Totally. Or even combine them somehow if you plan the logistics. Plus, fishing is popular on the river, too. It makes the area more of a destination, not just a bike trail.
Yeah, I can see that. Has a lot of appeal. Okay, so pulling all this together, what's the final verdict? Your overall impression of the Elk River trail system for e-biking?
I'd say it's definitely a trail system with a lot of potential and one that's actively growing and improving.
A work in progress, but a promising one?
Exactly. You get a good long stretch of scenic riding, mostly on a surface that works well for e-bikes. The access is pretty flexible.
And it has unique character with the Bigfoot and the history.
Right. Those little things add flavor. The main things to keep in mind are the ongoing construction, the need to be self-sufficient with supplies, and checking conditions like access roads or potential rough patches.
But overall, worth considering for an e-bike trip, especially for those who like flatter rail trails with nice scenery.
I think so, yeah. It offers a great chance to explore that part of West Virginia on a developing trail.
Excellent. So, to wrap it up for you listening, the Elk River Trail system in West Virginia looks like a really solid option for e-biking adventures. You've got a growing network, mostly flat crushed gravel, plenty of ways to get on the trail, some memorable sights, and it's still evolving.
Just remember that disclaimer. Always, always check the local rules about e-bike access before you ride. Make sure your class one is good to go.
Couldn't agree more. So definitely consider the Elk River Trail. It seems like a great blend of West Virginia's natural beauty and that classic rail trail experience.
Yeah, it feels like one to watch as it continues to develop too.
It does. Which leads to a final thought. With its ongoing development and all these diverse features we've talked about, the Elk River Trail system really offers a glimpse into how outdoor recreation is changing and expanding. It makes you wonder, what other hidden gems, what other stories might be waiting just around the next bend on its path?